every single one of her. Into our agenda. It should be that we have a number of new faces around the table. It would make sense, in my estimation, to introduce themselves very briefly. So I will start. Matthew Battaglia, I'm a representative, our graduate student in the second year of a dual degree program, Jade MBA. I am the chair of this committee.
Hi, everyone. I'm Terrell, and I'm the clerk for this committee as well as the University Assembly.
I'm Kendall Carr. I'm the Judicial Coach Counselor.
Michelle Horvath, Judicial Administrator.
Hi, I'm Connor. From the SA,
I'm Gabe. I'm the chair of the UA.
I'm Victoria Price, a law student.
Nate Stetson, law student.
Richard Bensel, faculty representative.
Ricky Sumner-Hurwitz, I'm a professor in ILR, and I'm also a faculty representative of this committee.
Oh, Rena, GPSA president.
Thank you. And also, we do have a few of the things.
My name is Marshall Brown. I'm the freshman rep.
I'm Charleston Riley. I'm the sophomore.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Casey Ashford. I'm a second year law student.
Thank you. Moving to our agenda. The in terms of approval of minutes, we are still attempting to get the September 6th minutes, and the minutes from our last meeting on October 18th are not yet prepared. However, we do have the minutes from our meeting of September 27th. And at this time, are there any comments, questions, or concerns regarding the minutes of September 27th? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the minutes? Is there a second? Hearing none, the minutes are approved unanimously. Moving into our business of the day, I actually will ask that the committee's generosity. I know that Connor Hodges has been as a member of this committee. He has a class conflict schedule this time, so I know you would made some time to stop in and talk to the committee about the hate speech working group or your opinions of it, noting that I know that you do have a class you preferably like to get back to. I'd like to give you a few moments, assuming there's no dissent. In that case, just for context, I've spoken to Connor. He's been on this committee for now 4 years, hard as it may be to believe. I believe he's very experienced in this area, and we have just, even though the CJC has not formally approved these roles for the working group, I have spoken to him and asked if he would be willing to serve. He's indicated he is willing. Obviously, that is the committee must formally approve that. But me and him, just in terms of trying to keep the proverbial ball rolling, have been planning and attempting to sketch out an idea for where this will go in, which actually will dovetail very nicely into the presentation later on our agenda. So with that, Connor, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think that Matt covered most of the important bits. I've spoken to some of you about this. Not all of you, some new faces, but I'm excited to work with the computer. I suppose I don't have too much more to add on top of that. I made myself available for questions, since I know that I'm a familiar, unfamiliar face to some of you. And you might have questions about my approach to the committee, to the possible working group, or I suppose my experience in the committee. So rather than talk at you, I was hoping if any of you had any questions about the working group or my experience or any concerns that I could address them now.
Richard?
So if you were chair of this committee, what are the most serious challenges, problems that you anticipate dealing with?
Yeah, I think, the most immediate and pressing challenge, I think, would be trying to figure out whether or not the working group feels that they could put together a robust hate speech code provision that would meet all of its objectives and continue to meet all of those objectives in the future. We can't predict the future, but I think that once the folks who created the provisions sort of take their hands off of it, that could go in a direction that they didn't anticipate when they created the code. Being that there would be other folks interpreting and enforcing those provisions. I'm thinking specifically of instances like 2012, the Hope Plaza incident, which you are probably familiar with, when both sides could have, appealed to hate speech provisions. And if the code was written by folks several years before that, or who were no longer involved in the writing, then those hate speech provisions could have been used in ways unanticipated by the folks who created the provision in the first place. So I think the most pressing challenge would be figuring out whether or not it seems workable for us to create this language that would suit the purposes the committee sets out for itself and sets out as they set out by, with, and through various community partners and stakeholders, but then also whether or not that language is perhaps stable or longitudinal, whether it can last in the same way that the working group intended it to last, in the same ways that it was intended to be used. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Actually, just if I may, it's the whole Pleasance is now further behind us than just it's hard to believe. But if you wouldn't mind just providing a quick context for those who either weren't around at the time or are not otherwise aware of it.
Well, I would actually defer to someone who was around, since I wasn't actually here in 2012. But it's my understanding that, and someone else can add on context, but this is anything that's very important. There was an event on Hope Plaza by, I believe, Cornell Hillel and the former organization that's now Cornelians for Israel. There was a counter-protest by Students for Justice in Palestine. It got extremely heated. There were allegations of people being thrown to the ground, professors, undergraduate students. And there were some lasting changes to structure and protest that came out of that action, whether it be the banning of sticks on placards, and then the outdoor
space working group.
Outdoor space working group, yes, was started after that. And finally, I believe last year, we finished implementing their proposals into the code. And someone else can point out if I'm missing anything that's terribly important there, but it was very heated. Contested free speech incidents, where I think both sides might have had claim to a hate speech provision if one had been in the code at the time. So I'd like to try to keep those sorts of incidents in mind when thinking about the possible actual deployment of the provisions that this working group is going to be recommending.
Fantastic. Any other comments or questions for Connor? Actually, I'll have one for to provide context to the committee. What's your experience in terms of just being reaching out to community partners, being engaged? And this is obviously a gargantuan undertaking, but also it's something that we need to be sure that we are encompassing as many people as possible. So I'm just curious what your experience is in that. And I know it, but just for the committee.
Yeah, I suppose that would be important to note. I guess I originally joined the CJC. It was a bit of a strange semester since I was also having organized some of the Fight the Feet protests of folks who were around that. So it was interesting to see both folks who were working on free speech provisions and then actually participating in free speech actions and pressuring the administration in that way. I've since sort of taken a bit of a backseat in actual undergraduate student organizing on campus related to the community, more focusing on my academics, but I've stayed a member of the CJC and continued working for the past, this is my fourth year. So I suppose I was also treasurer for the Alana Intercultural Board for a period. If you're all familiar with that undergraduate student organization, it's an umbrella organization for various multicultural orgs on campus, whether it be BSU, Black Students United, whether it be LL, Les Associations, Latina, whether it be the hundreds of other organizations that are umbrella. So I have a little bit of experience with these communities, with organizing and working with them, reaching out to them. I'd like to try to leverage that as part of this community.
Fantastic.
Are you able to stay long enough to be here when we discuss the actual formation of the working subcommittee?
I should probably get a move on. I apologize. I wish that I could stay, and I wish that I could be here for every meeting.
In that case, can I ask you now,
yes.
What do you think would be a good structure for the subcommittee, in particular, membership, getting input from various stakeholder groups?
Yeah, out of the proposed structures, I think I'd be partial to the four CJC core, four other stakeholder representatives, and then unlimited community involvement model. I think that having an eight-person
number, 3A, so it's a hybrid model. And I'll run through this very quickly afterwards.
Right. I think that the committee is not necessarily as nimble as it would be with just four people, but I don't think that's necessarily something to be prioritized. I think that sort of unlimited community involvement or unmatched community involvement and participation, I think is extremely desirable for the sort of committee. And I think that having the stakeholders from other groups, one rather than two, I think is a balance between, I think, rapidity of decision making and involvement from the other siblings.
Thank you. Any other final questions for Connor? Hearing none, thank you so much for taking the time out of your class. We look forward to next semester and you'll be able to be here more regularly.
Yes, I am too.
Thank you very much. So, maybe that we just touched on the structure, if there's any, there's no objections, I'd like to go out of order, so we'll go into the presentation on structure, considering we just touched on it briefly. Hearing no objections, I'm going to give a brief presentation. You should have, this was circulated very early this morning. Actually, I do not anticipate this being a perennial occurrence. There were a confluence of events that, unfortunately, filled my schedule, but the future I anticipate we'll be getting back to having documents out at least a couple of days in advance. Yes. They were attached.
Oh.
There were two attachments.
Well, I had two attachments, but I didn't see it.
The listserv has a technical glitch where if you attach files that are more than 1 megabyte in size, the message will not send. So the agenda, in this case, the poster were attached directly to the attachments. The other ones were linked to a shared file.
It's a technical error.
Okay. I will, other things, thank you for letting me know. And I'll make more of a note in the future because the inspector obviously may have noted that. Okay, so first off, moving in, Matt, how are you? So looking at, actually, that's the one, let's keep quorum. So in essence, there are three main options here, three and then a hybrid option that it was at the end. All of them include membership that is drawn by in front of CJC as well, and that on the CJC side, the intent is generally to have some, at least one for each constituency. As the CJC discussed and preliminary approved last week, that would mean that in the CJC membership we have, or the CJC membership, assuming I'm a CJC, we'll figure that out, but that would be Connor Hodges as an undergraduate we've heard from, Professor Lieberwitz from the faculty. We're looking for an employee member. There are very few people who have names have been floated. I just want to sit down and talk with people just to make sure that they are actually willing to serve before I floating those names. And then obviously, Nate Stetson as a graduate professional student. In general, the focus is really on, can we engage the community? How can we ensure that there's a maximum community input while balancing the fact that the code is a relatively complex document? As Connor highlighted, there's a long history and other incidents where the code has been used in ways that people think are good. People think that the code could have been misused if not drafted correctly. And being aware of that, as well as the potentially far-reaching impact of any changes, is something that we are hoping to be very mindful of. The first option is one that I had alluded to last week.
We haven't decided on the the CJC decide on those people yet?
The CJC voted last week just
okay, for I missed that part.
Point of information.
Of course. Go back.
What faculty or employee is it? Jeremy and Casey are the only
two on the committee, correct?
Okay, sorry. Yes.
And conceivably because they're both exceptionally busy, we would be able to. They're appointed by the CJC, but if we need we have the flexibility to work with that. But going back to option one, it's coming down to, this is something that I alluded to at our last meetings, and I hope this will clarify some of what I was doing, even putting together and working with some individuals in terms of just fleshing out the details. I felt it was helpful. In general, it's four CJC appointees. I know they are appointed by the CJC, they don't necessarily have to be members just because of the exact issue we saw with our employee membership on this committee, as well as also the graduate, we're still working out the graduate student membership with the GPSA. I'm confident we'll resolve that soon though. However, moving into unlimited open community membership, the idea would be that the four CJC members are facilitating a structure, and they are really the ones who are in the trenches, so to speak. And then it was really unlimited open community membership. If you want to be involved, please do. That being said, it is layered. Their idea was having a layered structure to balance the fact that if people are coming in the middle of a meeting or in the middle of the process, we would spend all the time getting people up to speed. So the intent is to allow this plan was to allow maximum community involvement. That being said, there was concern that without having dedicated seats, at least for the constituent assembly, that there wouldn't necessarily be as much buy-in as necessary, and also concerns that it would be a little too amorphous, which is why, and also obviously the concern that by having these layers, we might inadvertently stratify or it block people out if they don't get in at the beginning, which led to the second option is more of a traditional committee. It follows to the Actually, do you have a comment on that one?
Yeah, on all of them, but as we go through, who can vote?
So in this case, and actually that would, it comes up more with the hybrid option, but in general, this one and all of them, what we had preliminarily discussed and what I guess the proposal encompasses would be, it's designed to be consensus-based with in essence so that they will have a discussion. In terms of determining consensus, it would be the members from the CJC, or in the other options, the members from the CJC and the assembly appointees, with two members obviously being a part of that discussion. But the intent is also that at the end of this process that the CJC will solicit from this working group feedback language, but also actually actively solicit dissenting opinions, so that if there are those community members or otherwise who are not in favor of it, this is, as Connor mentioned, a very delicate, complex, and I think it's fair to say charged topic. So to say that we're going to have a full unanimous consensus, I think is not feasible. That means that we also are looking to have, if we get to the charge, three to five or possibly more pieces of draft language or other conclusions and things generated by this committee. And the intent would be that if you have dissension, that you in essence would create different language for each, because this committee will then go through and start determining and doing more of a deep dive once we have some language that is finalized.
Matt, that doesn't answer the question. Who can vote?
The intent is to not have voting.
On the default, if there is voting, who can vote? I really think that.
So in that case, it would be the four CJC appointees, and then if we have any assembly appointees, they would be as well. And that would leave us with an odd number, assuming the chair abstaining, and the chair also would still obtain their standard voting rights, as well as the ability to cast a tie-breaking vote. Any other questions on the first option? Moving on to the second option, in response, I came up with a system that is more akin to what we've seen with the standard committee. In essence, it creates a mini CJC. It still retains the four CJC appointees, one from each constituency, but in this case, it would be two seats filled by each constituent assembly. It allows for the direct involvement of constituent assemblies, and the idea and intent is really to be able to go to our constituent assemblies, have them say, go to your communities, determine who you think will be best on this committee, bring them in, and also try and tie them in this process to solicit feedback. The concern also, though, was that if someone is appointed to a seat and isn't able to attend or is otherwise unable to fully fulfill their responsibilities, that is a slight balancing issue. But it does also encourage careful consideration and therefore a discussion about what are the interests we wish to bridge to bring forward. Any questions on that?
Yes, Richard? So there are 12 votes.
That would be here. That would be correct.
Oh, there you go.
We generally require notice, but assuming there's no dissent, yes.
So would this option mean like no general public would be able to give input?
So yes and no, and that's not the non-answer, I'm aware. But they would not be seated member or technically members of the community, but the meetings are going to be open to the public. There is, as we get later, a forum and other public opportunities for public comment, as well as open public comment. So there would be community input solicited, but in terms of the actual structure of the working group, unless they wish to invite experts in, or however they chose to define experts in, there would not be a set, I guess, seats to set aside for the community. It would be four CJC, two for each assembly, and there you have the working group. You're welcome. And on that, I also heard concerns that this may be too large, which leads us to option three, which is the same thing, except it's four from the CJC, and then coming one from each committee, each constituent assembly. So therefore, we would have a total of eight, and two, therefore a total of two from each constituency, period. Everything remains the same from option two, except it is shrunk. Again, hopefully maintain a more nimble committee, assuming also that in terms of coordinated schedules, as we have seen with this committee ourselves, the more people you involve, the harder it becomes to coordinate scheduling over time. Are there any questions or comments on option three? And that brings me to the last one, which is option 3A, which is a hybrid. And this is, in essence, a response to concerns about options 1, 2, and 3, in that, actually, the point that was just brought up, that you know, we want community input, but that we also want to ensure the community assemblies have buy-in, or the constituent assemblies have buy-in. And therefore, this retains the four CJC appointees, that is the one that's through all these. It also maintains the four seats for one for each constituent assembly. So to Richard's point, there'd be a total of 8 voting members if we were going down that path. And then it would also have unlimited open community membership, and in essence trying to balance the best of both worlds, a nimble core, or a nimble, I guess, central group, but we'll still allow anyone who wishes to participate the ability to do so. In terms of community membership, the idea would be similar to the first one, that there, in essence, you can participate in as much or as little as you see fit. If that means you want to come to every single meeting, provide comments, and be involved, that would be welcomed. If you wish to come to some meetings and provide written comments, that also welcomed. And if you simply wish to submit written comments or in essence, just keep praise of what's going on, that is also welcomed. In terms of determining consensus, as you mentioned before, community members, obviously their voices will be weighed, but in terms of actually determining it would come down to the members from the this committee and the assemblies, primarily just in terms of, because the community membership is amorphous and uncapped, and there was a concern expressed that if we allow that, in essence, you run the risk that the people would stack in the room, and that you might not, in this case, we maintain a balance within the constituencies, you might have 500 undergrads show up, hyperbole, I know, versus 10 grads, and you could draw it out if we're counting based on numbers. That being said, the goal is to allow as many people as possible, and also being aware and being clear to the community members that we are welcome to work on all issues, you're welcome to attend meetings, but we will provide recaps. But that being said, as the process is underway, that if you come to your first meeting midway through the process, we're not going to be able to stop, in essence, bring you individually up to speed. We'll obviously have options for offline and have maybe a running document, summary document, minutes for where we are, but also balancing the fact that an amorphous membership imposes some constraints, but on the whole, this attempts to combine the benefits of allowing anyone in, insofar as that no one is excluded because anyone can attend, while still balancing the desire to engage our constituent assemblies, as well as ensure that this committee is present to help facilitate and really drive towards getting justiciable language that can be considered by this committee. As we mentioned before, this was the option favored by Mr. Hodges. It is a hybrid option. We are free to tweak any parts of this. And then moving on to a draft formal charge. This is a draft as well, but it is in essence looking to determine and find specific language to determine how hate speech will interact with campus conduct. That can be through I believe, Michelle, you had raised your hand in terms of commenting on option 3A. Do you have something you wish to add?
No, I don't.
Okay. And in terms of the charge, I have Richard on the speaker list then as well. But the draft formal charge is, that's 10-8. Moving back into this, the formal charge is the intent of encouraging them to draft specific language, saying that language may include new provisions, modifications to existing provisions, for example, harassment language, a statement that they believe something is untenable or unworkable, or other documents that they believe are reasonably helpful in this process, whether that be a pro-con, a benefit drawback proposal, or even something as simple as how they have defined hate speech based on consultation with the community. The idea is really to set them off in the right path, will not balance cabining them and tying them down, while still giving them flexibility and the ability to pivot if necessary. Finally, just the second bullet is just meetings over the public, and the working group reports to us regularly. We at the end of the day, the buck stops with us. It's our working group, and we are able to alter a charge, whether we use this or any other, by a simple majority vote. And Richard, just in your shadow.
Okay. In the last line, mm-hmm. charge rather than change.
Oh, you're right. You're correct. Thank you. I apologize.
And the second thing, which
yes.
is you're responsible for most of this?
In consulting, in speaking with a number of individuals, yes.
Anyway, it's very nice. Very nice to do that. I like the way you put out the options, the language.
I just wanted to check that the draft formal charge reflects the language which I have not myself seen of the charge that the UA gave the CJC, because I think that, you know, this ad hoc subcommittee is very much in response to that charge, and so I think we should reflect the language of the UA's charge to the CJC as much as possible, and I don't know if this does that.
I can, in terms of context for that, the UA's charge was relatively vague, was made on the floor. It was, and I am paraphrasing, and I'd be happy to go through the actual records and the recording and necessarily figure it out. But in essence, was the CJC should consider language to incorporate or address hate speech in the campus code of conduct. The corollary discussion was in essence saying that whether that be no action, action, or whatever, or whatever it shall be. And then it was original motion. It was then amended by, I believe, that motion was made by Ms. Anna Waymack. The motion was then amended by Mr. Joseph Anderson to add a timeline of this semester. And as I said before, I have informed the UA that we are attempting as much as possible to meet that timeline, while still being aware that because of the enormity of this issue, despite our best efforts, it might slip slightly. They have been relatively understanding of that, but it's also actually what the timeline, which we'll go into next. But that, I believe that answers, does that answer your question?
So I just want to be clear then that the UA did not give the CJC a written charge, right?
They did not.
Okay.
That is correct.
Yep, that's right.
And actually, that was just in the question. So, Michelle.
I just, with the charge, I would just put a time frame on there. I think that's important that that's understood. And then whatever option, if it's the community membership, I would recommend someone to consult with their Black's Law Dictionary, using like an ex publius, so they understand that it's not a voting position. Mm-hmm. So that way there's some validity to the fact that, yes. Yeah, so I would, whatever proper legal term, that's what I would recommend.
Yes, and actually that would lead me into the next portion, which you want to pull it up. I also took the liberty of drafting a draft timeline for this. I will then
what was that word or phrase?
EX.
Oh, this is really low.
L-I-U-S.
L-I-U-S.
It means like of the public.
So I'm going to zoom in and try to make this legible. That catches most of it. So, can I go full screen? Oh, that's even better. Perfect. That catches it all. So, do we have extra copies of that, don't we? Calendar? Actually, I can do my copy as well. So, if anyone would like a copy, a hard copy of this, because it might be hard to read, please let us know. So, actually, to the point raised in terms of timeline, as well as in that we are on a time scale, as well as also ensuring that community members are appraised of this. I actually sat down with a number of people and I just tried to talk through a draft timeline for the working group in terms of where it would go. It starts with a community forum, and actually on that note, I also took the liberty of securing Klarman Auditorium from 4:15 no, 3:15 to 4:45 this Friday. It was also included in the email. To, in essence, have a forum, whether or not we approve a charge or not, it will be just generally open to the community. The intent being to provide information about where we are and solicit just general feedback. If we do not constitute a working group by then, I would ensure that it is recorded, whether that be through someone, myself taking notes or someone else taking notes, and then provide it to the working group. The intent, and actually to a point that I received via email, the hope is to have a few community forums, depending obviously on feedback. If we have overwhelming feedback and people can't, the sheer volume people cannot speak, we'll have more. If we have more attendance, we will have more. In essence, the intent is to try and make sure the community is as involved as possible, and also to convey to them the information that, as we just discussed now, once we determine a structure, to in essence be able to get that information out as best as possible. In terms of just the draft timeline, it starts with a community forum, time to tabulate that feedback from that form, which would in essence have to be notes from a note taker, would then be posted, and there would be an additional public comment period for people to either say you did not get what I said correct, which may happen, to add I wasn't there but wanted to add X, or I was there to get the chance, or in essence to allow response and allow some form of feedback. That's for just about a week. In essence, then we allow another day or two to allow someone like the chair of the committee working group, and I'm sure I'd be happy to assist as well, to tabulate and just generally prepare a summary document, obviously leaving the entire body of comments. That means that if we receive 500, we're going to have to derive, I believe we will be able to, and we'll have to derive some general statements for where we are. Then moving on, do you want to introduce us? Okay, thank you. And then moving on, obviously we'll post that. The working group will then meet for over a couple of days, whether that be one meeting, multiple meetings, that will be at their discretion to discuss language, at least have a draft language, and then post that draft language for more comments for about another week. And also some of this, the public comment period is longer because actually when we were looking at our draft calendar, that looked like it was Thanksgiving week. So in terms of just knowing that we are, the odds of being able to actually meet during that time are relatively limited. And then afterwards, the committee working group would meet again to consider any comments that were brought and then propose 3 to 5 options to the full CJC. And there would be a timeline, time frame, and hopefully the ability to, I guess, guide the working group. That being said, this, in my estimation, should not be a set in stone timeline, because that being said, the logistics of things coming up, or if they reach impasse, better to quality over quantity. That being said, to at least provide a roadmap for where this committee thinks we should be going, and also be mindful that we do have roughly a month and some change left in the semester, and we have a charge that the UA has asked us to do our darndest to ensure that we fulfill. And that being said, are there any comments? Actually, Terrell is first, and then Richard.
Well, I will say that I do like the idea of a public community forum, and I appreciate that in the work that this took. But I'm interested to know, like, what is going to be done to make sure that the public is widely aware of.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that is something I've been working with. Actually, I was working with Pam and Gina, actually, even offered in terms of just publicizing it. I've been very busy the past couple days between all of this, but I have also have emails that are going to go out to the GPSA, the SA, Employee Assembly, and the Dean of the Faculty and some faculty senators, who I know, who in essence try and spread it as far as possible. Being that it is Friday and today is Wednesday, it is short notice, and I am aware of that. In terms of just noting also the time of the semester, if we wish to have a full discussion, we are starting to run out of time. So we're going, my intent, assuming there's not intent to cancel, which we can still do at this point, would be to have something Friday. Hopefully we'll have some people show up. I imagine it will. I've had people approach me about it. But then to hope, if necessary, schedule follow-ups as well, as whether that be an electronic forum that we stream electronically. There are a number of options that we have, but the intent is to have as many community, to have as much feedback as possible, and to take whatever steps we can to ensure it is broadcast. I know the SA has access to it, all undergrad newsletter as the UTSA.
Okay,
next is Richard, then Naj, then Nate.
So Matt, here's the question. Mm-hmm. This looks fine to me, so forth. But I wanted to know what the relationship is between this time deadline mm-hmm. and the committee. Is this our committee's instructions to the committee? Is it a suggestion? In other words, what is the relationship mm-hmm. this document?
Yes, to them. I would articulate it as instructions, and I would put the caveat, as I said before, understanding that it's very easy to plan out a very perfect schedule, and then it's very hard to actually execute said schedule, as we're seeing with our mandate from the UA. That being said, the idea is to guide them and say, here's what we think will work. As we said before, the goal is to have them in frequent contact, so if it comes up, oh, we need more time, that is something we'd like to hear. But I guess this is meant to be instructions, but with what's going on. That's correct.
Okay, that's what
I want. Understood. Thanks, Josh.
I just wanted to give a suggestion to make sure to publicize the forum, perhaps a cover photo or like an event on Facebook could be good means. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Absolutely. And actually, I will, if anyone has any feedback, I have created this very quickly. So then I've been circulating this. We are certainly able to make another one if we want, but in essence, it's designed just to be relatively simple, sort of to the point. But there will be a Facebook event. Actually, I have a class after this, but this evening I'll be spending a lot of time on my email trying to contact everyone and everyone I know about this.
So if we could all add people to an invite, that'd be mm-hmm. awesome.
Absolutely.
To invite all our friends.
Fantastic. That brings back. And then next is Nate.
Yeah, I just wanted to check and see whether you had considered whether we would want to invite the Daily Sun or ask the Daily Sun not to come, alternative. just because I think we need to be prepared for this conversation by the CJR subcommittee to become one of those flashpoints in the national press. Fortunately, we're a lot harder to get to them, like early. But, you know, I think those protests were marked by a participation largely by outside groups rather than students, which, again, would be hard to replicate here, but not impossible. And so I think we do need to consider visibility of these proceedings. I think we should invite the Sun, but also prepared for
it. Your points are well taken. I agree. My intent actually is to invite the Sun. Again, if it turns out, I would like to believe the best intentions. I would like to at least try it openly. If it turns out we have issues, which again, as you mentioned, it is unlikely, but still possible, we can then move forward. That being said, I default. As I mentioned in other forums, my goal is always to be open and transparent, and I think Daily Sun also is a fantastic microphone to go and to be there to solicit feedback, but also if this makes the front page or somewhere to say, oh, by the way, please go here to provide feedback. I think that is a fantastic way to help engage the community. Next is Risa.
Yeah, so on that point, we're going to have open forums. We have open forums.
Yes.
Practice free speech. I'm concerned with having one forum on Friday of this week. Regardless of how one intends it to look, it looks like it's a something that's done quickly, yes, and therefore it's done, and if I can't get there, I don't have a voice, and certainly that's just not, you know, what's intended.
Absolutely.
So it seems to me it would make more sense if we're going to have something this quick on Friday to actually plan it as at least two, so that it can be announced as there will be a forum on this day, and then there will be another forum on whatever other day, so that people understand it's structured so that we go quickly, but we also have enough time for people to come if they couldn't come the first time.
Yes.
Maybe you were thinking about doing that anyway.
Yes. And it's, what I was looking at the calendar and looking at next week, the GPSA meeting, the UA's meeting, and the SA are all testing next week. You was that meeting next week? Oh, we canceled that meeting. Oh, well, then Tuesday is Halloween, so again, either way, less than ideal. But I was looking at, and I was going to float an idea that this committee, we could, in essence, flip our meeting time and get a room in that from 4:30 to 6 next Wednesday. Instead of having a formal meeting, we would have a second follow-up forum.
Yeah.
In terms of looking at the calendar, I know it is sometimes less than ideal to sacrifice the meeting, but looking at the calendar, it seems to be for plenty that we want to have them relatively close so that we're not waiting a long period of time, and also the working group can get underway. I think that is an option, and I will, when we get into more of a vote, I think that's something we should consider.
Yeah, so just to follow up, I can't, unfortunately, I'm going to be out of town this Friday, so I won't be able to be there, but at least, you know, we'll get feedback on it. But
I'm also looking at the live streaming if possible.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be in a meeting.
There might be a report, but I'd say I'm trying to make it. I appreciate the fact.
Right. But at any rate, the other thing is, you know, there's something to thinking about how to structure a forum. Because this is, you know, this is something where it's not, okay, we're going to have a forum, and then boom, we're there. I mean, it takes some planning to say, well, how are we actually going to structure it? Mm-hmm. So between now and Friday, if there's going to be a forum, you know, some group has to meet to figure out how to structure it. Now, also, the other thing is, if you get to the forum, people say, well, we'd like to know, well, how are you going to go? What's the process by which you're going to follow to actually deal with all these issues? So it's sort of a, you know, kind of the timing is a little weird. When we have forum Friday, we still haven't decided how we're going to form a working group. It would be important to do that and get that done. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I think that the general approach looks fine.
Thank you. In terms of the, I guess, the general format, and speaking with the office assemblies as well as a number of individuals, and that's the reason you bring up actually what was going to be the next point, was in that, in terms of general format, my inclination would be spend 5 or 10 minutes, assuming we decide on a working group structure, in essence saying, hello, here's who we are, here's how the code, I mean, just a very brief 40-minute overview, that's how it all works, because it is not very well known, and then say, okay, here's the working group structure, you know, almost to at least, and also if we're going to have community involvement formally, to say, here's how you can actually get involved. Here's how you can actually do X, Y, Z, and here's how we anticipate doing this. I might even sign in. People don't like sign-ins, but I always have to say, if you want, in essence, somewhere, you can drop your email address, net ID, whatever, so we can, in essence, create an ad hoc listserv or whatever that might be in terms of to have the ability to in essence, contact people who are interested. But the intent, my idea would be general quick presentation, very quick. Any questions on that? And then generally I moderated also in that conversation, but in essence, a discussion in terms of if you're a student, what are your thoughts on all this, whether that be general and almost a, I've taken classes on ethnographic research and design thinking, which is in essence designed to how do people tell stories? How do you people actually almost not get at the problems that they see and that they experience and they see, but it can be difficult to actually articulate and try and go through essence some way of that. That being said, whatever comes, again, if that works, great. If it doesn't, we can shift back right into a just general. Please tell us how you feel. Next is Michelle, then Richard, and if no objection, we have community members.
So. I echo Reese's concerns about making sure that this is structured appropriately. Mm-hmm. I think the idea of setting some ground rules and some expectations and things like that would be really important. And I think I would investigate that a little bit further with maybe some of the people in campus and student life to really look at the event management perspective, because I think that would be a wise decision.
Absolutely.
Are you looking at these just being 1 week? So if I'm looking at this, that the last kind of date would be November 26th. My only concern with that is I think we're getting close to the time of finals and prelims and things of that nature for both faculty, staff, and students on the thing. So I think just really being mindful of that and the expectations. I can see that people would devote a lot of time to this, maybe put some of their academics at risk. So I think just kind of understanding what would be the timelines which would be appropriate for people so that they're also academically successful in a time when they're going to be doing a lot of emotionally challenging work. Thank you.
And I must forget, I must confess, I actually cannot remember who's next on the speakers list. I believe it was Richard. That's what I thought I had. I just couldn't, I got my list out of order. I apologize. I don't know why my screen's turning on. I don't know why. Is this what you want, or what are you looking at?
No. Okay. So I had a question and then a few questions. But the first question is, so community forums this Friday, if we were to adopt 3A, could the other constituent assemblies select people in time for Friday?
Speaking bluntly, I suspect not.
I suspect not, too.
And in that regard, what in terms of as Michelle's point, I think it's incredibly important to have ground rules. The Office of the Assemblies, Jean Gemetis, is the University Event Manager and has worked in that space, and she's been very helpful in terms of just handling that area. In terms of the idea for, even in general, for the forum, even if we subsume our meeting next Wednesday for additional forum, noting that it still might be a little in flux, part of the reason that there is a little bit of a gap time here is it's anticipating we hold a forum, we have three or four members from CJC, I will be there, and I imagine many of you will also be there, at the very least, just to start taking on feedback, and is until the constituent assemblies to send people who are interested.
It's just that people are going to be curious about who's on.
Agreed.
And so have an explanation for how that's going to proceed. So that bottom right Friday.
So
this one. Down there. That's November 26th.
26th.
Assuming that this calendar will be overlaid immediately, where we are now, yes, it would be.
November 26th. So they propose five options. They come to us. So that's Wednesday. So 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, that's December 1st. Mm-hmm. So then we meet and we propose to the UA an option. So they're going to meet, December 7th. Is that the idea?
The idea would be that, being said, looking and I've been informing the UA that, and they have actually, I've received informal assurances that if we get to this point, that there's not pressure necessary to rush it. That's that we have language coming from the working group. We can look at it, can respond to the email over the Christmas, New Year's, winter holidays, etc., and then come back in spring. And then really, as it's the working group's, the idea is to wrap it up before the semester, and then to not, as in, rush it through this committee.
Okay. So that was.
Yes.
Part of the question. December 7th sounds late.
Oh, absolutely.
Slippage. So this would carry over the break. That is
correct. Unless.
Unless everything goes much more smoothly than we suspect.
Precisely. So in a perfect world, we're aiming for it. I've informed the UA that, and I have again heard from a number of them. And in essence, if we're in process and it comes, the end of them ask me, I have to tell them we need slightly more time. It's not. In essence, the goal. And even the intent I heard for adding a timeline was to ensure that it got done, and therefore, assuming we're making positive progress, I'm not, as much as I'd like to meet their deadlines, I'm not terribly concerned if we need to say we need to push.
I think that's a good idea.
Point of information.
Of course.
Would the other constituency reps, so in looking at example 3A, would they have to be introduced at one meeting of whatever constituency they're coming from and then voted on, because that might add a whole month? So they could just executively appoint people?
It would be a standard. Each assembly has their own procedures. Having served on the GPSA and the SA as ex officio members, the SA will, quite honestly, they could either do two things. They could solicit public community members, which they might do, or they could say we have one seat. Who would like to serve? An internal essence that have an internal election to do it. So the constituent assemblies are free to as in staff it as they see fit. There are no rules in terms of just being a voting member or other issues that could cause an impediment. And the idea also is to try and this for the forums and the open comment is realistically also to let the constituent assemblies have some breathing room to say we need to find someone or multiple someones, depending on which option is adopted, to operate.
Thank you. I just didn't know how to. I just didn't know if that was a time law.
Absolutely. And then we have, is there any dissent to have a community member speak?
No.
I would just like to speak to, I guess, people that are concerned with, like, it being so quickly. And I would just like to say that the people that are going to be coming on Friday are most likely people that are directly affected or are very concerned with the issues that have been happening on campus. So I don't think that we should, like, quote you guys. I don't think that you guys should be very concerned about, like, I know it's something that we need to care about, logistics and all of that, but I mean, if you tell people, like, we're going to hear you out about all of this hate speech that's been happening, people are you know, and people will continue to be coming and be interested, regardless of if you have it later tonight or if you have it tomorrow or Friday. I also think that the whole thing about the dates and about finals and stuff, I think that the campus climate is more detrimental to students' stability than maybe having to go to a 2-hour meeting on a Friday night instead of studying. Because I can personally say that, like, the like it's more detrimental to my emotional stability and mental health to see all of this, like, hate on campus than to maybe say, like, oh, I can't study tomorrow because I'm going to a meeting. And so I would just like to, from, like, a student perspective that's been, like, involved with all of the things that have been going on, I would just put that out there to say that it's maybe a lot more helpful than detrimental to the students to just, you know, get the ball rolling on this whole thing that a lot of students have been waiting for now for a long time.
Thank you. I appreciate the sentiment, and this is a sentiment that's been brought up by numerous times and places over the being shared governance in terms of being that I am a full-time student. Everyone here is either a full-time student, a full-time faculty member, or a full-time employee. But everyone is wearing multiple hats. That being said, it is important also that we are an academic institution, and to set up someone where they feel they must make a choice between their studies or participate in this is something that we would prefer to avoid, and that we would prefer to find a way to do both. And I think your point is well taken. So thank you. Next is Nate.
Yes, I wanted to underscore both what Marco just said and what Professor Lichtman said a little earlier. I think that, you know, what we've heard from the communities who are affected by these acts of hate is that they want something done, they want it done fast, and they are willing to help us help them. And so in that spirit, I think we should advertise the Friday Community Forum, and I think we will probably get good turnout, and it's important that we continue to press ahead rapidly. That said, I think it will also reassure people that that our communication with the community is going to be an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. If we were able to announce a follow-along forum, ideally even at the first forum. And so I think that finding at least a tentative date for a second forum should be a priority so that we, you know, have this ongoing conversation.
Thank you. In terms of
I think it would be even better if we decided, let's say, to have our regularly scheduled time next week devoted to a second forum to announce both of them at the same time in terms of advertising. Because, I mean,
time.
Yeah, it's say here we're going to have two forums and here they are. Mm-hmm. Because then people just know up front, okay, I can't come Friday, but I know there's this other forum.
Yes. Or in essence, that they have to, again, some people are willing to move.
Twice.
Yes, yeah. Or people may want to move something on Friday, but knowing that there's two,
right.
Again, to try and.
Right.
To allow people to best plan their lives. In terms of, it sounds like we've had a very robust discussion on this. In terms of actually having the rubber meet the road, in terms of the actual working group structure, which would be here, are there any opinions, strong discussions, or otherwise just ideas for a preferred structure? Do people think that we are in a position where we may be able to decide and formally vote upon a structure, or something the committee would like to spend more time on?
So my question is, how are people going to be able to submit comments if they're not in person? So the thing that would concern me about choosing a structure that has less community involvement would be that if people have to physically be at a meeting, they might feel like they are not going to be able to be heard. But if you make it relatively easy for someone to submit a written comment, mm-hmm. so through a website or by emailing a specific person, I think people will be a little bit less concerned. I'm a little bit concerned about charging a particular constituent group with soliciting feedback from their committee members. I think there should be a way for committee members to directly reach us.
Mm-hmm. On that and noting that, in terms of, I completely agree the intent, and this is again logistics that I'm working with the office assemblies, there will be a webpage of some sort where someone can either attach a name to it or otherwise, anonymously if they desire, submit comments. Those comments will be the inclination will be those comments will be public, so anyone can see them, anyone can read them, you can, again, there may be a discussion going on. the intent obviously would be to not moderate them, barring, of course, legal issues in terms of threats. I mean, this might get, outside of the reasons where he must moderate, the intent is to let us speak as much as you'd like, and then have that be open, and then really just have at it. And assuming we follow, at the very least, no matter what we do, the meetings this will be open, there will be opportunities for written comment. That being said, also, if we adopt options one or the hybrid model, we will have actually specifically community is actually built into the actual structure, which I think would enable, or in essence, would ameliorate concerns over our comment system not working, which, again, well, I don't foresee technical issues. It would be naive to say they may not occur. Yes, exactly. So then next is, actually, we have community and the consent.
I was just like, that's a really good point. I have to leave, actually. But is there any way that, like, there's not an assigned person to read the emails that's, like, directly affiliated with this? Because I know, like, some people might be, like, hesitant to submit, like, a strongly worded letter, maybe, if they knew that somebody that knew who they were, like, was going to read that. You know, like, maybe, like, if it was, like, a student. Like, even if I'm an undergrad, maybe I don't want a grad student reading what I'm saying, even though that's what I'm feeling. You know, and like, I feel like that's something that maybe need to, that I might feel needs to be addressed. And so I don't know if there's any way that you guys could like make sure that we can, it's like a person that's removed maybe from like reading those emails. That's like,
we can make it anonymous. That being said, anything sent in, and this I will make this very clear, is public. And that any decision, assuming that comment was going to be brought into the decision making of the working group, it needs to be public, because otherwise you don't necessarily know what they're getting in. That being said, there will be a facility to make an anonymous comment to them. Hoping obviously that is not abused. If that occurs, we will have to revisit that. But assuming that all works as planned, to have an anonymous comment period, or again, set up an email where we have someone, we can work with the ombudsman or other areas to scrub personal information. Next is Nate.
And I think that also in order to address that concern, which I think is a good one, one thing that we could do is have our public comment system, which creates the ability to submit anonymous comments, and then also encourage people to email any of the CJC or assemblies members of the subcommittee, but in particular the one from their constituent assembly background, and say that, you know, these people are your duly elected representatives, and that if you have anything that you would like them to voice to the committee, you shouldn't hesitate to contact them with something that you would like them to say.
Exactly.
Separate from the comment system. So I think there's no reason not to encourage that.
I completely agree. So in terms of, I guess, noting the time we have and looking at where we stand, is there any, I guess, inclination towards any of the options, whether that be option 1, 2, 3 or a hybrid model? Are there any options that we think we can roll out to start narrowing it? Richard?
By default in time, it looks like number one is what we're going into the open forum.
No, we are not. I mean, I have, having started to prepare, I just draft deck for that. In essence, the intent would be to simplify this a little bit and say, if you want the whole thing, we can give it to you. But assuming we in terms of unlimited community membership, option one and the hybrid option both include that option.
But we won't have the other members.
We wouldn't, most likely. That being said, the SA meets Thursday, they might be able to get us someone. And that being said, what we would explain is, this is recently charged, this is primarily feedback, in essence, to explain your assemblies are still deciding, and almost possibly to push individuals, say, if you're interested in serving, contact your constituent assembly. To almost serve as a, here's how it works, but also, it's still so new that if you want to, as be your assembly's appointed rep, as opposed to just being a community member, go talk to your assembly, and then persuade them, and make an argument to your assembly will then decide.
So here's another question. This open forum is this the subcommittee's?
It would be in this,
or is it ours?
It's, for logistical purposes, it's ours, just because in terms of subcommittee is so,
okay.
I mean, it's not even, it's constituted yet.
Okay.
Thank you. Next is Risa.
Can I see the hybrid?
Of course.
I'm a little bit confused about some of the differences, but it seems to me that is a good one in terms of getting a nice representation. I don't think it's workable to just have full membership by the whole community with some hope that will reach consensus.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think that's workable. Yeah. So I think that full and open participation by the community at any of the meetings is good, and we can structure it in terms of, you know, like we could hear that the perhaps the committee members have their chance first to speak, and then the community gets to speak, etc. But I think in terms, there really needs to be a vote, a clear voting structure.
Yes, and it's actually, to Richard's point earlier, going down that path, the intent would be that the actual, I guess, the vote for determining consensus, or just if the committee decides to vote, it would be the four CJC, this one as well, it would be the four CJC appointees and the four constituent assembly appointees. Obviously, community members would be able to contribute their voices as any community member would. And in this case, they would have it in various layers and various formal ways to do so. But because of, as you mentioned, the logistics of it preclude us having a 500 person committee, because in that case, as much as that would be wonderful, nothing would get done. Victoria and then Richard.
So I have a quick question about how that particular committee model would work. So if you're going to allow people who are not on the committee to speak, so say you have community members that show up that want to speak, are they going to operate on the same rules as this committee, like you have to give 24-hour notice? Okay. I just wanted to know that.
Because that is,
I think
that's
would prevent a lot of people.
No, absolutely not. No. The intent would be, again, assuming a lot of people show up, we're going to have to say we have X time. Please meet your comments. And the committee realistically might say, we've heard 20 people who support this point of view. Is there anyone who has another point of view, just so that since all points of views are brought forward?
Okay.
Next is Richard.
So, just a quick question. So, you and Gabe have thought about this. Which one do you prefer?
I'll turn to Gabe first.
So, I'll speak because I'm not the chair of this committee. Honestly, like, my opinion, and I've always said this, like anyone, I guess a lot of you haven't been in meetings. I mean, my opinion is that smaller is always better for committees. Like, they're more efficient. It's easier to schedule meetings. It's easier to get quorum. I think right now we're one short of quorum. And so, like, my opinion is smaller is better. However, like, I want to qualify that. I feel like if we make this committee too small, it will not have enough of the input that we need from the communities that we want to have input from. And so I think it would be a good idea to have, pick one of the options that has the four CJC members, but then also one seat filled by, but then also the one seat filled by each constituent assembly, so that there's someone that is a full member of this committee that, you know, each assembly or constituent assembly really trusts to say, like, you know, we think you'll do a good job. We think you'll do a good job, you know, being, you know, listening to lots of different people on this. And so I think that it's a good thing to have, you know, the constituent assembly input and to have feedback from the broader campus community. And I think that allowing one seat from each constituent assembly is, like, the most efficient way of doing that. So that's my opinion. I think unlimited open membership is just the same thing as saying, like, everyone, like, it's an open meeting. I guess we would just hope that, like, they meet in a place where people, like, can sit and attend. So I think that, I don't really see that much of a difference between three, like, the hybrid option and then the one that's the exact same but no open. Yeah, like, that's the same to me, unless I'm missing something, right, besides through the open membership. Yeah.
Attorney, I guess, because Richard asked my preference just at the outset, again, and I believe any of these would be adequate. My intent was to create various options for this committee. That being said, in discussions, just in terms of balancing all the pieces, my inclination is that the hybrid option might be the best. That being said, I have, again, tended to remain a partial chair because you asked, I'll tell you that. But to Gabe's point, in terms of the option with the hybrid option, is to explicitly allow for community input, as I sketched out the bullseye. In essence, if you were to come to every single meeting of this committee, or this working group or committee, or this body, if you were to come to every single meeting, I would anticipate you, in essence, would be tantamount to a member. You would be incredibly involved. And then, in essence, to say that, to try and really ensure that the committee is aware that the community is not just tolerated in your meetings because they're open, the community is actually a part of your structure. And you're right, to a certain practical aspect, there's not a huge number of differences between the SA, the GPSA, or someone allowing the community to speak, but But the intent is to say that we are intentionally trying to bring you in. If you wish to be involved, please do so as much or as little as you see fit. The idea is really, it's not completely symbolic, but there's a certain symbolism to it that we're trying to, I guess, hold on to that. Then next is Nate, and then Richard.
Yeah, so having interacted with a lot of deliberative bodies in my time, I would agree with Dave for situations in general, but not this one. I think smaller is better for executive-type work, but this is not executive-type work. This is essentially crowdsourcing legislation. And so I think a big group is actually ideal. It is not just symbolic, although it is symbolic, to invite the entire community in. I think that's a strong point in favor of the hybrid model. I also think that Connor probably has more experience doing activism among than most, if not all of us in this room, certainly than I do. And so his endorsement also counts for a big amount.
Hey, I guess next is Richard. And I guess the final point would also deal with the assembly, since the assembly's individuals are able to serve as a point person as well. So that's since their assembly essay can say, John Doe, what do you think?
So are we losing forms?
We've already lost. We haven't had forms since not left, unfortunately.
I'm sorry, I have to go.
Absolutely. Maybe just film me. Of course. Well, have safe travels. Thank you so much.
So I believe I should send you.
Leave the recording. Please leave it. This is public. And the same idea on the logistical point of view. If the committee is of an opinion of a preferred venue, I will say that and send it out to a vote to the membership. I suspect they said they're relatively similar. But that being said, the intent is to move forward.
The committee of the whole.
We are. You're correct.
So in the committee of the whole, I rule that you send this out.
So in option three, hybrid.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To the membership to be approved. Practically, I think it will. But thank you. Are there any dissent to that, or
point of order? I'm curious. Do we have a provision under either UA governing docs for its committees, or under any governing docs for this committee, to call for a vote by mail?
We do.
Okay.
Yes, we've done that. We do. It's not standard operating procedures. However, in this case, where it is relatively uncontroversial and there's some urgency, we have done it in the past, and I suspect that's what we're going to do.
What you're going for?
Well, that's what I understood.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Just want to make sure.
Yes.
It will be an email, but not a physical mail, but email.
Right. So we need this done.
Yes, absolutely. So in that case, is there any... That is not typical motion. Any dissent, concerns, or otherwise about that?
Yeah, are we going to do the vote?
I'll send that to the SIP tonight.
So what's considered winning?
What's going to be a majority seat of membership?
A major, but there are four options.
Well, in essence, I would treat it as there's been a motion to adopt option 3A. We will then say.
Is that what people want to do? That you want 3A?
I do.
Yes.
Do you
want 3A? Sorry, are we asking, like, does the committee of the whole endorse 3A?
We are recommending. We're recommending to the rest nothing's going to happen.
Then that's what we should do.
Yeah.
Just send that one out.
Okay, I will. And then in that case, we also then move into, I guess, again, a preliminary draft formal charge, barring the typo, which will be fixed. Is there any comments, questions, or concerns about this as a draft formal charge? Again, the committee can amend it and can also, we can go through and if we need to issue instructions, we have that ability as well.
It's fine. I would suggest you take a vote of the committee members here on both things before, so we don't have to answer an email.
In that case, thank you. Next, first, Mr. Kaufman.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would also include in the charge a deadline.
Well, the next part was going to be adopting the account. Well, that was not what I expected. It was to adopt this.
Yeah, I didn't see that. So,
you said you were at a meeting. Open meeting went well. So in that case, are there any questions, concerns on that? Hearing none. In that case, that brings us back to this. Are there any comments, questions, or concerns? Actually, I should also ask: What is the committee's thoughts on taking our meeting next Wednesday and taking that time and rolling it into a community forum? It's something that, in terms of logistics, it's a time that I know I can get in that because it's the time I've already blocked in my calendar. It is relatively close, but still far enough away that there's notice. Are there any objections to us putting that out for us to take our next meeting, which would be the second, October, November 1st, to be the second forum?
I would
tender as an alternative the following week, just because I think it will give people the opportunity to respond to things that were said in the first forum.
Give us a chance.
And give us a chance to sort of produce points for response.
Mm-hmm. And also to postmortem the first one.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. That it can be responsive to the first forum,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't think it could be if it were only 5 days later. That said, obviously, the interests of time are countervailing.
Well, we can also look at something like
super
Tuesday.
Prepared to be over you.
Oh, absolutely. No, and I will put it and the email will say they're looking at X dates and attempt to determine. I also will look at the calendar to see if there, for instance, if that the GPSA meeting next week, in essence, that'd be an off week meeting for the off week with GPSA, off week for the UA. So, in essence, then we have more flexibility in terms of just picking dates.
Canceled our next UA meeting as a policy.
Yes.
So,
and I would ask that you speak to the chairman, Mr. Coppin.
Sorry.
So, in that case, we have. In terms of Richard's point, I think it's prudent to go back to first the structure. This is a straw poll, or I guess in this case, you are tendering your mail vote for being present. All those who are in favor of adopting option 3 as a hybrid. Well, we really don't have a lot of people here. All who opposed, all abstain. For the sake of getting towards seated membership, the chair will vote in favor of this just to make sure that we actually can get to that hurdle. Next would move to the draft charge. All those who are in favor of the draft charge, please raise your hand or placard. All who are opposed, and all who like to abstain.
Point of information, is that going to be with the deadline in place?
Yes, so doesn't it, so yes.
So the draft charge is the language you put up on that slide.
Yes.
Plus the deadline.
Plus this timeline isn't this timeline being overlaid with that Friday as a start, which in essence brings us all the way through the end of November.
Okay, then in favor.
Okay, thank you. So in that case, we'll just start from the meeting. All those in favor of the charge with timeline, all opposed? Abstentions, again, in the interest of making sure we can get this approved, the chair will vote yes. And that is the list of formal, I guess, and then there'll be an email going out tonight in terms of actually getting the rest of the membership to agree to this. It was tied in with the charge. Yes.
So
this is an interesting, in essence, what we're going to do, it's going to be done as a mail vote. Members present have tendered their mail votes early.
Okay.
But so in essence, I will send there will be email, and I will, in essence, prepare a report or something for our next meeting. So in essence, that was because we are well under form.
So actually, I'm actually not going to put that in the record because okay, and I'll let you deal with that. Okay.
Well, in that case, we have 2 minutes left in the meeting. I'm just going, in that case, if there's no objections, the remainder of our agenda should be moved to our next meeting, which will either be next Wednesday or whenever that meeting shall be. And are there any closing comments, questions, or concerns? Hearing none, thank you very much for being here. Thank you very much for your time. I will be sending you, we'll likely get a number of emails from me tonight about forums and other things. And also please do the advertising slide for the forum was sent via the agenda. So please share it far and wide, every groups, otherwise, et cetera. And then hopefully we will, actually, I'm going to be emailing the law students that's as well. So, but in essence, to start getting things out.
Oh, well, you can't adjourn because it's not.
Yes, we're just going to. Yes, committee of the whole.